Okay, here in lesson 91, we're looking at the New Testament, the early timeline of original writings. We're going to trace the New Testament through from the time Jesus is crucified until the books of the New Testament are completed. So you can see we've got three things we're showing you here on this timeline. You have the crucifixion of Christ. You have Stephen, who's martyred early, right after, right around the same time period. You have James, who is the first pastor of the Jerusalem church, who's also martyred around 45 AD. And then you start getting the writings that are published. They're coming out, the manuscripts for the New Testament. You have Mark, the first gospel, around AD 50. Then if you click on the screen, you can see Luke is right after that. Then comes Matthew. Then comes John. Then you have all the epistles, some of the earliest ones being Paul's letters to the 1 Corinthians. You have this all within 35 to 65 years after the crucifixion. Then you can look at the other writers, the writers who are writing who are non-biblical sources, and you can see we have Flavius Josephus. Now, he's around 70 AD. You have Clement of Rome. You have Ignatius, a church father. You have Plinius Secundus, governor of Bithynia, around 112 AD. Eusebius, Tacitus, the greatest Roman historian, writing about Jesus, AD 115. You have all these secular writers, and everything they write corroborates what you find in the Gospels. You then have in the yellow the actual hard copy manuscripts. You have the John Rylands manuscript, a small piece of the book of John around 100 AD. You have then the more greater extents of the entire New Testament, the Bodmer Papyrus, Chester Beatty Papyri, Codex Vaticanus, the Codex Sinaiticus. As William F. Albright, PhD at Johns Hopkins University, says, you can date any book of the New Testament now before 80 AD, incredibly early compared to any other ancient manuscript. Professor Mike Lacona, we have him included here in a short video you can watch. When were the Gospels written? For now, let's go to slide two. In slide two, now we're talking about the historicity of the New Testament again. And here we have a quote from Sir Frederick George Kenyon, who was the director of the British Museum, president of the British Academy, a noted scholar of ancient languages who made a lifelong study of the New Testament as a historical text. Here's what he said. If you click on the screen, no fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith rests on a disputed reading. The number of New Testament manuscripts, of early translations, of quotes from the oldest church writers is so large, it's practically certain that the true reading of every doubtful passage is preserved in some one or other of these ancient authorities. This can be said of no other book in the ancient world. There's nothing even close. We can take all these manuscripts, and between them, we can come up with the original text. Let's go to slide three. Then we have the amazing story of Sir William M. Ramsay, a Scottish archaeologist and a New Testament scholar, a leading authority on the history of Asia Minor. He was a first professor of classical archaeology at Oxford University. He held 9 honorary university doctorates, and he was skeptical of using Luke as a historian to trace the history of Asia Minor. That was his major. That was his expertise. But there was no writings on Asia Minor from ancient literature. He couldn't find anything that he could use to explore the country, except Luke's writings of the travels of Paul in the book of Acts. So he grudgingly decided to try it, and he found that Luke is an unsurpassed expert as a historian. And the New Testament, especially Luke and the book of Acts, can be completely trusted. 3 examples out of many, many you can find in his book. Luke chapter 2, where it claims that Quirinius is governor of Syria. Luke chapter 3, Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene. Acts 18, Paul was brought before Gallio. Well, higher criticism when it came to Quirinius said that that's not true. There was no records of Quirinius as a governor at the time. And then guess what happened? Archaeology found an inscription in Antioch that ascribes Quirinius as governor around 7 BC, and Josephus documents Quirinius as governor in Syria in 6 AD. Scholars now know he was governor twice. How about the thing about Lysanias? Well, there was no record that Lysanias was a ruler of Chalcis from 40 to 36 BC. That's the only record we had of him, so he couldn't have been tetrarch of Abilene. But an inscription was found through archaeology that dated during the time of Tiberius, who ruled from 14 to 37 AD, where it says that Licinius was the tetrarch of Abila near Damascus. Exactly what Luke recorded. And then finally, this whole thing on Galileo. No record substantiated that Galileo was existed when Paul was traveling on his journeys. Well, guess what? At Delphi, an archaeology found an inscription of a letter from Emperor Claudius, and it said, "Lucius Junius Galileo, my friend, and the proconsul of Achaia." The inscription dates to 52 AD, right around the same time when Paul was there in 51 AD. Luke actually names 32 countries, 54 cities, and 9 islands without ever making a mistake. The New Testament, especially Luke's writings, are historically 100% reliable by scholarly investigation.